All right, we're back now with Bill Schuette, former Attorney General, coming in on all things under the sun political. Mr. Schuette, speak to the suburban women who are turned off by Mr. Trump's rhetoric, his behavior, his conduct, and the things he says.
I think it goes this way, Tim. It's a fair question. It goes to this issue, in my opinion, that the final decisions will be about, is this policy versus personality? And yes, at times he might be a bit rough for some. But his policies of safety in our streets and our neighborhoods, and this zany idea of trying to defund the police, which would imperil our safety of our neighborhoods, I think that is a key issue for suburban women, for suburban families, safety of our neighborhoods and our streets, and in contrast with Biden and Harris and the progressive left-wing Democrats who want to defund the police. That would imperil public safety. I think that's a key message to those voters.
Would you concede that Mr. Biden has more empathy than Trump?
I'm sorry, I got two people. Which hit me again.
Would you concede that Mr. Biden has more empathy than Mr. Trump?
You know, they're just different people, quite frankly. They're just different personality makeup. Everybody has their own styles. And I think the score in a week from now is going to be about 46-46. And it's how these final 8% of these are undecided or they don't want to reveal what their preference is. And the real question is, do the policies of Donald Trump, do they favor that more than maybe the dislike of his personality? And I think in the end, policy will prevail. Donald Trump will win. It's going to be a squeaker, but I think that's really how this shakes out.
Bill Schuette, during most of Donald Trump's presidency, obviously the economy has been very strong until the coronavirus hit early this year. Now the Democrats and Joe Biden are saying, well, the economy isn't good right now, and it's Donald Trump's fault. Is that a fair charge? How can Donald Trump be blamed for the economy, although all the polls indicate that's what the American people, and maybe here in Michigan as well, believe right now? They think he's responsible for this bad economy right now.
Well, you know, I think it goes this way. The fact that we had the Trump tax cuts that propelled the biggest economic expansion that we've seen in modern times is due to that particular policy. Joe Biden wants to eliminate the Trump tax cuts, which would crush jobs. And Biden's approach on the Green New Deal and other high tax, big government spending programs would really crush investment and jobs in this country. And so Trump put together this big economy. The COVID came, obviously it shut down certain parts of our industry. But Trump marshaled some of the biggest resources of government that we've seen since the Spanish flu of 1911. And so he is trying to encourage to open this country back up, get it back working. And I think that's the message. And the real contrast is, what are the economic policies? And Biden said he'd shut it down again. He wants to ban fracking. Okay, you want to pay $5 a gallon for gas? I don't think so.
He left it to the governors to handle the coronavirus in the states. Instead of doing a broad national strategy. And in connection with that, what do you make of this ongoing feud with Governor Whitmer, but with President Trump, despite the fact that the governor has got much better approval ratings in Michigan than the president, and yet there's still this fight between them?
Well, again, it's this way. I believe what the president intended when this first started, Kathy, was to have a team approach. You have 50 states. You have to work with, governors across the country. And if you look at Kristi Noem in South Dakota, Kim Reynolds in Iowa, Kay Ivey in Alabama, other governors in the Southeast and Southwest, they reopened their states sooner. They're trying to do two things. They're trying to save lives and save livelihoods. Certain other governors took a different approach. Here in Michigan, we did not open up soon enough. That's why Mike Shirky had the unlock petition and this era, over 200 executive orders conflicting, and sometimes it didn't appear as if it applied to everybody the same. I mean, it's like Pelosi sneaking out to get her haircut and the mayor of Chicago getting her haircut. What about everybody else? And so what we need to do is work as a team, dial down the rhetoric. Let's just stop throwing brickbats and show people that we're mature enough and have enough wisdom to solve problems. I think we just ought to dial down the rhetoric to be sure.
Mr. Schuette, going back to the question of suburban women and their support or lack thereof for President Trump, we saw that, you know, Oakland County, that area that really seems to be emblematic of that shift, go that way, go towards Democrats in 2018 when you were on the ticket. What do you think happened in Oakland County in 2018?
Well, you know, I'm one of these guys who always look forward, that's to be sure. You know, I got more votes in 2018 than former Governor Snyder received in 2014. But the Democrats had a huge turnout. And frankly, Jonathan, when you lose Republican majority in the United States House of Representatives, which means you lose Republicans in America's reddest states of, Utah and Oklahoma and Texas, we're going to have trouble here in Michigan. That's what happened. So I'm a looking forward guy. You have to keep grinding it out in Oakland County. Those three state representative seats I talked about earlier, Berman, Turner, and Tisdale, I think we'll win those. And then, you know, in Macomb County, that's a suburban area. I think we'll have strong support there as we want to increase our numbers in Macomb in southeast Michigan. So that's how you do that. And I think the message of this contrast of philosophies between Trump and Pence and Biden and Harris, it's the choice. Who do you want at the tiller, at the helm in the future? That's really the issue. And what are the better policies, even though you might, sometimes the personality might rub you the wrong way. This is about how we go forward in terms of building America. And see, America is a place about construction, not destruction. And that really is how do we, it's a shining city on a hill. Reagan talked about it. We all have to be builders. Let's continue to construct this incredible country.
Mr. Schuette, would you ban guns in the state capitol?
You're talking about the issue that it's been brewing down there. Here's what I think should occur. And I'm a Second Amendment guy. I believe that once the election's over and so the temperature and the vitriol and the rhetoric's been calmed down, that the legislature and the Capitol Commission should work together to solve this problem. We don't need to, you want to respect Second Amendment rights, and I'm that kind of guy, but we also don't need military weapons in the Capitol. We'll have to work that out.
Wait a minute. Let me clarify that. Okay, so are you for not allowing open carry in the state Capitol, sir?
I didn't say that. I'm just saying that we need to make sure that we provide safety in the Capitol, and so people aren't fearful, but also respects Second Amendment rights. I think that can be achieved, Tim.
Well, flesh that out for me. How do you achieve that, sir? How do you, without taking weapons out of the Capitol, how do you solve it?
Here's what happens. Once the election's done, and the buzz of trying to skewer people and do gotcha, which frankly people are tired of. Once the election's over, I believe the Capitol Commission has some sound members on both sides of the party, work with the legislature and respect Second Amendment rights and make sure that people feel safe in the Capitol. I think that can be done.
As the state's former top law enforcement officer, do you believe the Secretary of State, backed up by the current Attorney General, have the authority to ban openly carrying weapons at polling places on Election Day?
That's a great question. And the short answer is, listen, we don't need to have guns at polling places. People want to exercise the right to vote. That's an incredible freedom that we have. But also, none of the gun policy is done by the legislature. It's not done by the Secretary of State or the Attorney General. This is done by the legislative branch. I mean, the Michigan Supreme Court affirmed that we have three branches of government in their most recent ruling. And so decisions about gun policy is in the legislature. It's not unilaterally done by the Secretary of State or the Attorney General. So they're way out of bounds.
So you agree with the concept, but not the execution?
The point is that there's no need for guns at polling places, Jonathan. It may be very clear about that. But that decision is done by the legislature. It's not done by executive fiat or done by one person unilaterally. We have something called the Constitution. Yeah, we have COVID. Yeah, these are kind of turbulent times. And I know everyone gets a little bit, I think this absence of connectedness and people are separated from families and friends and all of this. There's this kind of undercurrent that everyone's a little bit irritated, but we still have a constitution we have to respect out there, you know, and government, let's not pick on a 77-year-old barber trying to make the living and make his payments, you know, Carl, the barber in Owosso. At the same time, the government's having trouble getting unemployment checks up. Let's focus on important things right now and follow the Constitution.
I will take one more question. Kathy, if you've got one, go ahead.
What is your take on this whole plot against the governor to kidnap her and storm the Capitol? How is that playing into this political discourse that we're experiencing right now?
I am very glad, Kathy, that she and her family are safe. And I'm very glad that the legislators are safe. They go in and out of the Capitol and staff and visitors as well. And so I'm very glad that Governor Whitmer and her family are safe. And frankly, nobody, elected official or citizens, should be threatened or intimidated by the mob, whether it's Antifa or white supremacists. There's no place for that in America. There's no place for these fringe groups that appear in America. This is a country of construction, not destruction. And, you know, I want to tip my hat to the Michigan State Police and the FBI because they did a great job in investigating this whole plot. And a lot goes on behind the scenes. I know that as a former attorney general. And it also underscores the importance of supporting law enforcement and these crazy ideas of defunding the police that Biden and Harris and company and the progressive Democrats have in Michigan and across the country is nuts. Look at the great police work they did on this effort here. So I tip my hat to them. And, you know, my wife went through this in 2016 when our house was attacked by 50 people. I was away traveling and she was by herself. And so not identical, but similar. So I get what's going on here. The point is let's support law enforcement and there's no place for these fringe groups, white supremacists, Antifa, those who want to burn and loot. Those are anarchists. That's not what America's about.
Mr. Schutte, let's put a top on this with one final question. Are you done running for an elective office?
Well, right now it's 2020. I'm going to work hard in the next 11 days, help our Republican team. And then after November 3rd, let's see what's going on. And maybe I get invited back to your show. I don't know.
So that was a no to my question, eh?
No. I said, listen, more to come. That wasn't a no. It wasn't a no. It wasn't a yes. It was I sure like coming on off the record and see all my friends.
Mr. Schutte, it's good to see you. Thanks for showing up, okay? My best to you and your bride. And also our thanks to Kathy and Jonathan and Bill Ballinger. Let's see you right here next week on Off the Record.